All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just pray that you would help us this morning as we look to you. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to understand your word, Father. Help us to have faith, Father, to apply it, to hear your voice, to walk in the light, Lord. Again, help us, Lord, to bring glory and honor to you in all that we say or do. In the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I want to extend greetings to each and every one of you this morning. May God's grace and peace and mercy be upon each one as you follow him. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I had a title this morning. I think I would title the message, Where Nothing Can Harm You. How many people do you know of in your life that spend most of their lives preparing to avoid harm? If you think about it, people spend most of their life preparing themselves to secure themselves, to get themselves in a place of security. Men work hard and invest and spend their whole lives. Why? They spend their lives looking for, they work hard, they invest, they looking for security. They want to make enough money. There's people that have retirement plans or investment plans. There's thousands, millions of people that the purpose of their job is to make you feel secure or to get yourself invested and make enough money to where you can be secure. They spend their lives looking for that retirement to where they can be able to retire and just live in ease. I don't know how many times I've noticed in life men will work and look for retirement and they'll work hard and they'll get to 65, the magic number, they say, that to where they can retire and just quit their job and just start drawing a check. Or maybe just travel. Maybe they've planned to travel. They've looked for this security to where they can just do whatever they want. And so they can retire at 65. And I've watched them. And as they retire, maybe for 5 years, maybe 10, sometimes not even that much, they can just do whatever they want. And then the next step, they wind up in a nursing home somewhere. I can take you right to where there's people who were millionaires. And they've got some little 16-year-old girl wiping their nose, wiping the drool off their chin, maybe even spoon-feeding them. And they sought for a secure life. They gave themselves for security. And that security in this life has wound up being that they're in a nursing home somewhere. And some young lady or some young man having to just do everything for them. Wheel them around in a chair. Feed them. Clean up after them. Their security wasn't very good, was it? How much time do we spend in our lives just trying to find security? Churches. People are trying to find the perfect church, the perfect denomination, trying to make sure everyone around them is just perfect. Spending their life looking to make their lives secure. Looking for a way to make everything safe around them. Protecting everything. We already saw the idea in money. And how we see that it fails them. In eternity, there won't be a penny that makes it into eternity. Of this mammon. It won't make it. And at the best in this life, you end up helpless. There's no safety in seeking safety. And the same goes, the same principle goes in religion. People all over the world are looking for safety in religion, safety in Christianity, safety in their church. They're looking for this safety. And it will end up the same way as the rich man that winds up with somebody babysitting them and they're in their old age. There's no safety in seeking safety. We see that in all areas of our life. We try to protect ourselves. We build shelters. We build all these things that are going to keep us safe. And we all die in the end. At God's timing, not our own. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance. The boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. This is very interesting here. Storm in the middle of the night in a little boat on the sea. People, they were scared. They were clinging to the safety that that little boat offered them. And it was being tossed all about. They saw something in the night. And they thought it was a ghost. They were scared. They were afraid. And Peter, after the Lord reassured him that it was him, said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." Peter left the safety of the boat and walked on the water and went out to be with Jesus. He got to looking around and he got afraid. But the Lord saved him. The Lord took his hand and saved him. The people in the boat, there's a picture here of what it is to have faith. And what it is to walk with the Lord. We look for safety. That's the heart. That's the main reason most people go to church. They're trying to save themselves. They're trying to preserve themselves. And they get in the boat and they sit right there and hang on. But that's not faith. Everybody says, you know, "Well, what faith are you?" Faith has become this key word that it's, what religion are you? What do you trust in? And right there is the key. What are you trusting in? These men that were left, the picture that we get is these men that were trusting in the safety of the boat. They were trusting in the safety of the boat. Peter has the example of someone who gets out of the boat, not trusting the boat, but trusting in the Lord and walking with Him. That's the picture of what He's trying to portray to us of what real faith is. Some of the men's faith was in the boat. Many times our faith is in our church. Many times our faith is in our religion. Many times our faith is in our creed. Many times our faith is in just me being saved. An experience that we've had. Something that we've gone through. Something that we've done. And we hang on to that faith. And that's where our faith is. All these people, they ask, what faith are you? People tell them what their faith is in. What they're trusting in. Jesus is calling us to walk out on the water. Get out of the boat. Get out of where it's nice and safe. And get out here and trust in me. That's where nothing can harm you. Jesus said, if you find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for my sake and the gospel's, you will find it. That's what He's trying to tell us. Real faith is rare. People have faith in all kinds of things, but real faith in the Lord is rare. But that's where the only safety there is. Everything else will fail you. Just like the rich man's money, it will fail you. We spend so much time, so much of our life trying to build these safety nets for us. We try to make sure the boat's safer. Let's get a bunch of life rafts and put in the boat in case the boat falls over. Let's do all kinds of things to make the boat safer. Let's get a bigger boat. Let's put rafts around the boat so that in case it goes down, we've got an escape route. But that's not where faith is. It's all wrong. It appears safe. People find security in it. They find their faith in it. But their faith's not in Jesus. Because Jesus, where the faith with Jesus is out there on the water. A place that's not safe. It's stormy. There's a raging storm going on. And Peter said, let me come out there with you. That's where faith is. And we find that in our lives. Instead of trying to find security for ourselves, build our own little comfort zone, we have to forsake that. That's what we have to repent of. That's what God is calling us to repent of. To go out there where we can't see what's going on. Maybe in the midst of a storm, maybe where we just saw a ghost. And saying, Lord, I want to be out there with you. Because although it looks all around us that that's not the safe place, that's where safety is. And that's the only place we'll find where nothing can harm us. You know, the teachings of Jesus show us how not to be harmed. They show us how not to be harmed. Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the face, do you like getting slapped on the face? What is the reaction that you have when someone slaps you on the face? Or boxes you? Or hits you? What is your reaction? Your reaction is to find safety in your own arm and hit them back. To retaliate. But the place where no one can harm you, oh yeah, it might hurt your face. But if you want to find the safe place is Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. In other words, take the safe route is the one that doesn't necessarily make sense to the world. Because the only way anyone can harm you if they hit you is if you hit them back. That's how they hurt you. That's how they harm you. If you let them destroy the body, you can be saved. You can find that place of safety. But if you try to save it, you lose it. When someone takes something from you, the only way that they can hurt you is if you try to take it back. That's when it hurts you. Someone gets mad at you. They get all upset. They get angry at you. Do you know how they hurt you? Is when you get mad at them. That's when it hurts you. That's whenever it destroys you. It's not whenever they destroy the body. It's not when they don't hurt you. Whenever they destroy the body, they don't hurt you when they beat you up. They don't hurt you when they take everything away from you. The only one that can hurt you is you. And that's when you let them get it to you. That's why Jesus talked about forgiveness. You know, someone does something wrong to you. Do you know the only way they can hurt you is if you won't forgive them? That's the only way they can hurt you is if you won't forgive them. It don't matter what they do. You want safety for your soul? Lose it. Lose your body. Lose yourself. And you'll find it. Give yourself away. Listen to Jesus. He's trying to call us out there onto the water where it isn't safe. It doesn't appear safe to the world. But that's the only place, refuge of safety there is in the world. The only place in safety is let them have it. Let them take it away. Let them destroy the body that the soul may be saved. Your soul is what we're trying to rescue from this world. Not your body. It's your soul that's going to live forever. Not this flesh. Whatever they do to you, the only way they can hurt you is if you try to rise up and defend yourself and protect yourself and get angry and won't forgive and want to get vengeance and want to make things right. That's when it hurts you. Everybody says, oh, they're hurting you. They're taking something away. Defend yourself. The only way that you will be hurt is if you do that. Sure, they can kill the body. But your soul will come out shining and glorious if you're not overcome. That's why the key to overcoming evil with good. It's so that you will overcome. But if you get caught up in it, you get caught into it, you get drug into the battle, that's when you'll be destroyed. It may appear that you won. You won. You beat them. You got it. You got what you had coming back. You just whipped them. You took, they hit you and you hit them twice. You knocked them completely out. Looks like you won, but you lost. That's not the way. The way of faith is getting out of the boat, getting out of the comfort zone, and doing things the Lord's way. The only place where nothing can harm you . We try to look for refuges. places of safety. And so we try to build the walls of safety. But that's not where it's at. We sang about the church this morning. The faithfulness of being a part of a body that's rejected by the Lord. Being a part of, or not by the Lord, but by the world. Despised and rejected by the world. And it doesn't look too safe to people. People, they have their denominations. They have their churches. They have their organizations. And those things all appear to be safe. They have the appearance of safety. Protecting ourselves. Our safety is in Jesus and walking and following Him. Not in all of those things. We've got the idea that if I'm around someone that's sinful, they will poison me. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. Actually 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Now let's begin. 18. It says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." Safety, looking for security, is rebelling. Get a group of people. You know, the slaves, they think that their way of protecting themselves is to get everybody together and have a big uprising against their leaders. There's where safety is, they think. If we could just get rid of these chains, if we could just have to quit going to the field, if we could just get out of work, all we've got to do is everybody get together and we'll rise up against our master. And then we'll be the masters. We'll put them to work. That's what we'll do. That's a safe place. But that's not what Jesus says. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Servants, be submissive to your masters. With all respect. You know, the safest place you can be is just being doing the best job you can right where you are at. Just being faithful right where you are at. The boys, a lot of them talked about that this morning. About being faithful. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. How often do we complain whenever our boss is unreasonable? How often do we think, if they'd only do it my way, it'd just go so much easier, instead of just doing it the way He wants it done? We just get to thinking, boy, if I was just in charge, I could really do so much better. I could be so much better. I could just handle things so much nicer than they could. It'd just go a lot smoother if I could just be in charge of this. That's what we think. That's trying to build our own safety net. And it may work out a little better in the physical realm. But it won't work in the eternal realm. We might find a little safety in doing it our way. But the safe way is doing it the way the boss wants it done. Submit to your rulers, your masters, with all respect. even when they're unreasonable. You know, we try to help people sometimes, and it's just hard to help people. It's hard to help people. You got to really exert yourself to help people sometimes because of some of the foolish things they do. And you just think, well, if they would just quit doing this, or they would just do this, their lives would be so much better. And so you try to fix it up. You get them a little place and you get it all fixed up for them to make it better for them. And they do exactly opposite of what would just keep things going. And they wind out just causing a big mess and needing help again. But you keep helping them. You keep helping them. It's unreasonable sometimes to keep doing it. But that's what Jesus talked about. Lose yourself. It's not about everything making sense. It's about preserving the good. It's about preserving your souls. Building a safety net. Throwing away a lot of things that just make sense. For this, verse 19, finds favor. If for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. This bears favor. This wins favor with God. Whenever you do something that doesn't make sense to the world, you just go along with someone that's completely unreasonable with respect. You just submit yourself to it respectfully. This finds favor with God. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. You know, we don't hardly even know anything about this, because what happens is we usually figure out a better way and we make it all look smooth and make it work smoother and make it all right, and sometimes even get praised by the boss. Get exalted. We might even get a promotion, and it all works smooth. That's what we try to do. We try to be efficient. We try to get everything just all in order. And we usually wind up missing what finds favor with God by just doing it the way the man asked us to do it. The way the master asked us to do it. Sometimes the master asks us to do something and we do it his way. What happens? It all falls apart. Who gets blamed for it? You do. That's what he's talking about here. This is whenever you do something that your master wants with respect and you do it, and then it falls apart and he blames you for it. That's exactly what he's talking about here. For this finds favor with God when you take that patiently. But we don't know that because we're too smart. We can figure out a better way where our boss will praise us and lift us up and make us a hero. But are we worried about favor with God? Or are we worried about how safe it's made me? It's put me in a better place. It's put me in a better place with the boss. I argued with him and I got it straight. I fixed it. And look how much money I saved the boss. Because I did it my way. But does that find favor with God? To find favor with God, you walk out there where it doesn't always make sense. You get out of the boat. You want to be where nothing can harm you? Do things the way the Lord wants it. Forget about how smart we can figure it out. That's one of the big pitfalls of people who are... what's the opposite of slothful? Diligent. We apply diligence in all these little areas of our life. We just can't stand something not just working just so. And we miss a lot of things by not just doing it the way the Lord wants us to. Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose. Have you been called to make sure everything is in perfect order and everything goes just right in your life? Is that what God called you to do? It looks to me like He's called us to be faithful to Him. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. What if He had to have everything just so-so? What if He had to have everything just right? What if He had to have everything just as efficient as it could possibly be? Just as safe as it could possibly be? We'd be bound to Satan and his power for eternity if it would have went that way. But He came and His prayer was, not my will, but thine be done. Not the way I can figure it out. You don't think Jesus could have figured this all out better? Had the most efficient play, the most efficient way to do everything? He could have. We're called, leaving us an example for us to follow in His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. While being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept trusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. He had something in His vision, in His heart, that would keep Him safe. Just like we can. Safety is in walking with the Lord, not in our own wisdom. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. Just like the man that's supposed to submit to his master, even when he might be wrong, he just does what's asked of him with honor and respect, just like Jesus did. It goes wrong, he gets in trouble. Wives, do the same things to your husband. Honor and respect them. Well, he's just so dumb. He messes up all the time. He just misses this. He misses that. And I can just see so clear how I can make our family and our home just run so smooth. And just have everything in order if he would just listen to me. That's the safe way. You just well be buying annuities and lands and cattle and trying to prepare yourself for a nice long retirement of 5 years before some teeny bopper's dripping, wiping the drool off your chin. Same thing. Safety, safety, safety. But if you just do it God's way, if you just do it the way the Lord says, you can get your eyes off of what looks safe. Get your eyes onto Jesus right out in the water, the storm. That's where the faith is. That's where no one can harm you. It goes on to say, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The imperishable quality. You see, that which cannot be hurt Yeah, it may look like things are falling apart all around you. It may look like you're in trouble. It may look like you were the one that messed it all up. You may get blamed for all of it. But we're not looking for that. We're looking for the imperishable qualities that can't harm you. That's what we're looking for. The imperishable qualities that the world may think you're a fool. The world may think you're just a dope. The world may think that you're just a dimwit wife that don't have no sense. You're just barefooting in the kitchen. You don't even have a mind. You don't even think for yourself. That's what the world tells you to do. That's what they're going to say. But we're not worried about what they say. We're looking for those imperishable qualities that are much stronger than that. No one can hurt you. In Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, it talks about the fathers eating sour grapes and their children get their teeth set on edge. You know how you eat something sour and your mouth gets all messed up? They were saying, well, because the fathers ate the sour grapes, the children were feeling. And God said, that's not the way it is. What your fathers do cannot harm you. That cannot harm you. Only you can harm yourself. They may leave you in a miserable circumstance. They may leave you poor. They may leave you beat up. They may leave you all kinds of ways, but they can't hurt you. Every man will give an account for his own sin. We're looking for those imperishable qualities. You know, we're so scared to death in church, in religion, of being tainted by someone who sins. The only way that anyone who sins can harm you is if you're not merciful to them. That's the only way. They're not going to harm you if you've got these imperishable qualities. People that get serious about religion, they're scared to death that they're going to be in church with someone that might have sinned. They're scared to death that they're going to be in fellowship with someone that might not agree or believe every way that I do. So they're sinners. And so I can't have fellowship with them. That's why there's so many different divisions and fractions in the churches. Is because I'm trying to make myself safe. I'm trying to keep myself safe. And I can't associate with anyone that would have any difference than I do. The only way that they can hurt you is the exact route that 99% of the people take in religion. I've got to get rid of them. I've got to cut them off. I can't have anything to do with them. The way they don't hurt you is when you're merciful to them. That's when they don't hurt you. That's when you rise above. Just like someone slapping you on a cheek. How many times did Jesus say, if someone sins, that you're to forgive them? 7 times 70. And yet, every day in churches, people say, I'm not going to forgive that person because I'm holy and I don't want to be any part of it. That can't hurt me. The only way that we're hurt by someone else is we're unforgiving and we're unmerciful. The only way people can hurt us is when I'm impatient. Whenever I act in the same way someone would if they slapped me and I'd box them. That's how it hurts me. When I win instead of just trusting the Lord and being faithful. That's how nothing can harm you. We try to build these walls. We try to build these rules, all these kind of things to protect ourselves. And all it does is keeps us from the true safety. We try to shun people and avoid people that don't meet up to what we think they ought to be. And what it does, it keeps us from the one who walked right in the middle of sinners just like us. Walked with them and loved them. Helped them. They didn't hurt him. They didn't hurt him. It didn't hurt him to go talk to the people that you don't talk to. It didn't hurt him to go touch the people that you don't touch. That was the safe place. You rise above those things. You do it His way. You get out of the boat. You get out of the comfort zone. And you walk by faith. In Him. Not in whatever you think you're trusting in. That'll fail you. Go where nothing can harm you. Go where nothing can harm you. You know, I used to tell my children, they would get afraid about a tornado or something coming, and they would be all scared. And I'd say, you know, I'd rather be right in the middle of a tornado doing the Lord's will than being in the safest place in the world out of it. Being sheltered, hunkered down in a big old thing 20 feet below the ground full of concrete and reinforced steel. All the food that I need for a year. Everything that I need, I'd rather be right in the middle of the most dangerous place in the world, in the Lord's will. That's why Jesus prayed so often, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's where our salvation is, in the Lord's will. That's where nothing can harm you. In the Lord's will. May we strive to be there. Anyone have anything you'd like to add or share?
One that comes through fears that have been faced And it is often in service to others that we are able to have the biggest and most positive impacts, not only on others' lives, but on our own lives, permitting us to learn things about ourselves and test ourselves as we help each other through the rough places, rough patches. So don't wait for life to begin, but grab on and ride it like a Northwest cowboy. Never look back. You probably heard that. But you don't need a graduate from 40 years ago to stand up here and pontificate. Made this closing comment.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Safety, you'll never grow in the safe place. You're as big as you're going to get and get smaller. Jesus came and was tested in all points. That's what God wants to do. He wants to show us what we are. Amen. We don't want to see what we are. It's the problem. So we just stick our head in the sand, ride out the bottom of the boat, thinking we're safe, because we don't see it.
Christ is made the shore. Yeah.